right, welcome back, everybody, to Bumbershoot, where we're covering life's chaos with humor and heart. And I'm covering it with my friends, Rhonda and Tracy. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So last week, we interviewed my baby sister, Brandy, and that was fun. You guys enjoy?
Yes, so fun. Just some awesome stories when you were little.
Yeah. And, I got a little emotional, so if you didn't hear it in the beginning, I have something about Brandy that triggers my emotions, because I love her so much. Anyway, Tracy had mentioned last week it was a great idea to start an Instagram. Bumbershoot Charity is our Instagram, and that way I can put up pictures of the things we talk about, so I've already put up me as a baby, my parents when I was a baby, my grandparents that I had talked about. Couldn't find a picture of Ruby anywhere. Sorry, Trace. And then pictures of my sisters, my older sisters with me, and then Brandy, my mom, all the things. So anyways, yeah, follow us on Instagram because I'll be posting videos and pictures that I can track down anyway that refer to episodes. All right, so we are graduated from eighth grade and we are headed into high school, guys. Are you ready?
Ready.
Fortunately, I came out of that awkward stage of eighth grade. Well, actually eighth grade, I feel like. I was thinking this morning, I have my best friends throughout high school. Two out of three of them were established from middle school. So we know about my tough girlfriend from Compton. And then my other girlfriend that we started hanging out, I think, in sixth grade, seventh grade, but really, really the core group of us, eighth grade. And she had a younger brother, a year younger than us, brother. And so that was fun. I was very close to the family. I used to go hang out. They lived next door to one of my aunts. You know, the Adams family, one of those aunts. I did a lot of stuff with her, and then I made a new friend, I think through her, in sophomore year, maybe. So then there was four of us that hung out tight through high school. But as I've said all along, that, you know, we're just such a small town back then that everybody was friends. It's just who did you spend the most time with, really. But I wanted to talk about, first, I want to talk about my cousin, David. I'm going to kind of break away, and maybe this episode won't be totally high school after all, but we'll just let it go where it takes us. But I didn't grow up with a brother. My cousin, David, when he was 16, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, and he was only given about 3 years to live. Now, I've told you about my cousins on the East Coast and how we're very close to them. And it's funny because there's mostly boy cousins out there. There's mostly boy cousins. I think I only have two girl cousins out there. If I'm wrong, sorry, I'm just blanking right now. But I'm pretty sure that's the case, the ratio. Oh, no, there's three. Because I have a cousin that I don't remember life without her. But she was, she's a step cousin, even though we don't consider her a step. She came along like a little bit older. I think we were in elementary school or something. So three girl cousins, I believe it is. And it's so funny because I'm so close to her now that it's like dumb that I spaced on that. But I was just going back to when I was little in my brain, you know, when we would do the stair steps, like we would have all the cousins stand on my grandma and grandpa's stairs every year that we were all together and take a picture. And so, you know, as we got older. So a lot of our cousins out there were like big brothers to us. But David specifically, he was one of three boys that my Auntie Annette had. She's the middle sister of my dad's. And so she had three boys. It's Tommy, David, and Louie, but we used to call them Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And they were probably like that. They were very, very like big brothers to us. We would stay with them. We stayed with everybody when we went back, but a lot of times we would stay with them. And then they just kind of took on that role, I feel like, but it took on a whole new meaning when David got a little older. So what happened with David was he passed the 19 year mark And David, I'm just kind of in a nutshell, he changed his entire life to fight cancer. Meaning he gave up a lot of like foods that are bad for you. He never drank any alcohol. He exercised. He just really completely changed his whole life habits to fight this thing. And he actually did. He ended up writing a book. Oh gosh, I gotta get the name of it for you. It's called Defying Goliath. I believe that's what it's called, Defying Goliath. I just don't want to say the wrong thing, but I'll confirm the name of the book. Because he did conquer cancer for many, many years.
Yeah.
So where he was supposed to live to 19, he lived to 49.
Wow.
Yeah. So he did a lot of things right. And, you know, his mind just was, I'm going to beat this. And I do think your mind is half the battle in so many things.
It's everything.
But when we were younger, we knew that, you know, that he had cancer, and we knew that David did things differently than everybody else. But I don't remember really understanding the capacity of that disease, and he made it look easy. And now looking back, I realize that it wasn't easy. We had fun with it. We would tease him because anytime anyone had even a sniffle, he would like run from you. He wouldn't be around you. He would wear a handkerchief, like, you know, during the cold seasons. He'd wear a handkerchief over his nose so that he, you know, he couldn't get it long before masks were cool, or not cool, however. And so anyways, what ended up happening was he started coming to stay with us in California because he lived back east, obviously. And your immune system drops in the cold, in the winter time. So he would come stay with us in California since the weather was warmer.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the same kind of, you know, environment. So he became like our winter big brother is what it was like. I think he would come in like fall and stay through like the cold season, and then he'd go back. So we're talking about 3 to 4 months a year. And eventually for, when he was a little older, maybe in his late twenties, he moved out and lived out here for a duration. So I just set all that up. I mean, that's a whole another story, but I set it all up just to show you that he became our big brother. So, during some of the times that he lived with us, we recorded, you're going to be shocked, we recorded like commercials and music videos. And, I remember like significantly, he loved Whitesnake. We were talking the 80s guys, 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
He loved Whitesnake. And, Here I Go Again was like the song we sang at the top of our lungs. And it says in there, Waiting on Love, Sweet Charity. So of course that was a big deal for me. So we would always scream that part. So that's our song, like with David. And then we would play, card games with him. I mean, he was just like, he was a big brother, like playful big brother, but, you know, we never fought with him because he was only here for a short period of time every year. But he was so great with us. He taught me how to drive. He took us to toilet paper the school before. It was when my junior year, we were going to be seniors, and we went and totally like attacked the senior lawn, and like, yeah, that was us. Okay, TV. That was me. Back in the day. Yeah. So anyway, it was, yeah, it was really fun to have his role in our lives. He's so much energy, hilarious, like called me Charity. And his brothers do too. But because we were so close to him, it made us even closer to his brothers as well. And really special. So actually today, the day that we're recording this happened. Okay. So it's on my episode, like outline to talk about this today, but today by chance is the anniversary of his passing.
Wow.
I think that's really good. Kind of gave me chills.
Me too.
So it was a rough ending of life. He suffered a lot. Because he ended up getting, and I think it's called anaplastic cancer, anaplast something, if you know, you know, I think, attacked his throat, and it was really rough. And I'll tell you, I stayed very close to him. He needed to write a book. He found and fell in love again with his first love from high school. She had gone off and got married, da da da, and they they were like kindred spirits and soulmates, and they have this beautiful love story of coming back together. And he actually asked her to marry him, but he passed away before they could get married. And we just adore her. She is an angel, and she honors him constantly, and that's where her heart will stay forever. And it's just beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I know. But anyway, so when he knew he was passing, like in the next couple days, he called me, and I'll never forget, I was picking up the kids from Vintage Hills from the elementary school, and I was in line. You know, you wait in line forever.
Forever.
Forever to pick up the kids, especially elementary school, because everyone picks their kids up right at the curb. Anyways, David called me, and I didn't know that's why he was calling. And he, I don't know, and I don't think it's very common that you have someone call to say goodbye.
No.
And that's what he was calling me for.
Oh, God.
And we were as close as brother and sister. And that was harder than the call that he had passed. Because I just remember saying, I don't want to say goodbye. And he's like, I know, I know. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to say goodbye. I know I'm going to see you again. I know I am. And he's kept saying, I know, you will. But that... I haven't even talked about that.
It's so hard. I can't even imagine.
It was really, really hard to say goodbye when you know it's forever.
Right. Yeah.
And I know people have been, you know, by their loved ones, like on their deathbeds, and maybe after they've watched. I didn't watch him suffer. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But it also made it really hard to comprehend what that phone call was all about. You know. Right. So anyway, but I do know I'll see him in heaven again. I actually watched a documentary. It's called After Death. It sounds kind of morbid, but it was so incredibly promising that I highly recommend it. I do believe in heaven. And it's accounts of people that had near-death experiences and came back. And it just... the testimonies in that documentary just confirmed what I have always believed, that I would see, you know, my loved ones that had passed away again. And then I actually left the film super excited because I was like, yay, like it's confirmed that
What was the name of it again?
After Death.
Oh, okay. I'm right
down. Yeah. So, and that's why it made me excited, because I can't wait. I mean, I can wait, but I can't wait to see David again, and my grandma and my papa and everybody. But, you know, David, his energy and his spirit are just so, so alive. And every time, here I go again, that song comes on by Whitesnake. You know, we just like rock out every birthday I have. We're singing it and dedicate it to him. So anyways, but David was such a huge part of my, you know, like seventh, eighth grade, all the way to through my high school years. He was such a big part of those times that I wanted to bring that up and honor him and just thank him. Oh, I didn't know I was going to go there. Thank him for being that big brother to me and just for all the memories.
Aww. How many years apart were you guys? I was like 12, 13.
So it's been 12 years since he passed to this date. And actually this episode is airing a week later. So November 25th is his, heavenly birthday. But, our ages are, I think we are 8 years apart.
Okay.
I think so. 49, he'd be... Well, Louis turned 60. Yeah, so he would be... Yeah, I think we're 8 years apart. 8 or 9 years apart.
That's tough.
Yeah. So, but you know what? It so matters how we live life.
It really does.
You know, the time... I'm a quality time person, and I love time. That's what, like, I love the excuse to be here with you guys every week. I love time with my people, and... But I think, you know, when you leave, that's all you really had. Was time with people, and he made it amazing when he was in our lives. And so another thing that, you know, I bank is how important it is and how, you know, precious life is, and you don't get it forever. Well, you do get it forever in heaven, but not on earth.
It's a little different.
And our little human hearts have a hard time with loss, I'll tell you that. So anyways, happy heavenly birthday, David. And yes. Thank you for the memories. All right. So freshman year. We talked about my girl from middle school, but there was a couple stories with her, and I can't remember the years, so I'm just kind of clumping all this time, you guys. I'm not doing like chronological anything, but there was a couple stories about Heather and I, and one was that she lived in Meadowview, which is like a custom housing area in the middle of Temecula, on like 2 to 5 acre lots, I think. And she had horses. They had horses. So there was this one day, we took the horses out to walk in the riverbed. And back then, I mean, there was like, you know, we're going back to when I was in high school, early years, maybe even 8th grade. And there wasn't a lot of housing everywhere. There was no apartments. There was no mall. There was no nothing. So when we would go on a walk in the riverbeds in Meadowview, you didn't necessarily know where exactly you were all the time. We didn't have GPS. We didn't have, there was no signs. There was no phone. We didn't even have phones on the horses with us. We just saddled up and took a ride. Well, we were riding so long that the sun started going down. And I'm like, girl, we gotta start heading back. She's like, I know, the sun's going down. And we're like, do we even know where we're going right now? And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know where we're going. Well, she did know where we were going, but we couldn't see like an inch in front of us. It was so dark by the time, like, we weren't even close to home. So I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I do this still to this day by myself in the dark, but I was with her and we started getting like manly voices and we started saying, hey, Fred, you got your gun? Like, yeah, Billy, you got yours? Yep, I got it. And, oh, yeah, remember that guy we took out last week? You know, like, just so that if there was a creeper or stranger in the dark, they'd be scared of us.
I love that. I don't do that.
You know, I do it to this day. Like, I'll walk in the house, and if I don't know, like, if anybody's home, you know, like, not if anybody's my home.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, hi, yeah, I've definitely got that gun that you gave me last week, or hey, Billy, like, I'll be by myself and I'll talk to, I don't know why Billy keeps coming up, I don't even really know Billy, but hey, Billy, like, I'll just talk to somebody else so that if there's a stranger in my house, they think I'm with somebody else. Anyway, yeah, I still do that, 51 years old, but that's something, I don't know, have you guys ever done that? No,
I've never done that before, no.
You never thought to do it either?
I know.
It never came to your head?
I'd like to try it one time with you.
Okay.
Down.
All right. One of these days when we're in the dark by ourselves.
Let's go.
In the middle of nowhere, we'll be sure to talk about those guns we got strapped to us.
And Billy.
And Billy. Billy will be with us for sure.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so that was fun. And another thing that we did, so the first time I ever snuck out was with Heather. Shocking. And the other time I snuck out was with Heather, too. You could say she was a naughty influence, but she was also fun. A fun influence. Things I would have never done if I didn't hang out with her. But we were at her house. Her parents are so sweet. They're so awesome. But they, like, kind of by the end of the afternoon, they just go... No. They just go, like, turn on the TV and kind of, like, they just chillax for the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
And I feel like they trusted everybody in the household. Well, this one night there was a party that we weren't allowed to go to. It was in the town next to us, and one of our friend's older brothers was throwing it. So he was not in school. We were still, I think we were freshmen or sophomore. And so we wanted to go to this party. Well, sorry, Heather. Sorry to the whole family for spilling the beans, but we're old enough now. And I'm not saying last name, so you can try to guess who it is. But anyway, she got her sister, because we didn't have our license, she got her sister's keys to her car. Mm-hmm. We snuck out the window and got her in her sister's car, and she drove us. She knew how to drive from a very young age. She drove us to the next city over, out a dirt road to this house where this party was. And so I'm nervous as heck. Like, I've never done anything like this. And she wasn't nervous at all. She was just, like, ready to go, excited. But she wouldn't drink. She wouldn't drink and drive. So we get to the party, and it's kind of going off. It's good. And I walk in, and now I'm, like, nervous, because what if somebody sees me that knows my parents, and they'll tell my parents, and who's here? And, like, you know, da 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 da. And my head, this is going through my head. I'm so nervous. I'm not going to have anything to drink. I'm not going to do, you know, I don't do anything. And so I see things I've never seen before, and now I see kids doing things that I never knew they did. And, oh, my gosh. And so in my world, I'm just, like, it rocked my world. I was so, I don't know, like, shocked. It just changes things. Yeah, like, yeah. You're like, oh. So anyway, at a certain point, I'm, like, ready to go, but she's not ready to go. And I'm getting nervous because there's getting more and more people. Older kids are showing up. You know, kids I know that are young, our age, are drinking, and that's making me uncomfortable. Yes, I was a total prude. I can't help it. I'm sorry. Not sorry. So I go sit by the front door. Now, the front door had, like, a tiny little, like, it had, like, a little part of the wall, and then it went back, like, and then there was a corner going back, and then the other side had, like, a corner going the other way. I don't know if you can picture what I'm saying, but there was just a little space. If you're inside the house looking out the front door, a little space to the right. So I just went over there and I sat down there, right? No drink in my hand, no nothing. I didn't do anything the whole time I was there, and I'm sitting there. I'm just waiting till we can leave so that, because I'm getting uncomfortable and it's getting busier and it's getting louder and all the things. All of a sudden, there's this commotion and somebody showed up that wasn't supposed to show up. And now the owner of the house is mad. The kid owner of the house is mad. All these guys are getting like, let's go get him. And I'm sitting there watching this happen. And I'm like, oh, I knew we shouldn't have left. We should have left when we could have. And I'm just like, I know I like probably look like a deer in the headlights just watching all this commotion, right? The kid, well, he's not, he was an adult, but the owner of the house grabs a shotgun.
No.
He has a beer in his right hand, and the shotgun, he's like, kunk, in his left hand.
God. Oh, my gosh.
And he punches the wall to the right of the door where Charity's sitting under him. That hand had a beer in it.
Oh.
So when he punched it, the beer came all over me.
No.
And then I'm like, now I smell like beer, and I'm not supposed to be here, and now I smell, I'm going to, everyone's going to think I drink, and I was just freaking out, drenched in beer, and scared to death, because now there's a shotgun outside, yeah. And the only way to get out was to go out the front to the car and leave.
How scary.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was just my little world at that point, but I, you know, like Serendipity, like that movie where mm-hmm. at the end, Sandra Bullock is, like, oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on podcast. I think so. Yeah. Talk about a movie.
Yeah.
So we're, her and I think it's Harry Connick Jr. or whatever, they're like, they find each other again, they're in love, and the world's going on around them, and they don't know it. That's kind of how I was, not in love, but just in this world, like, beer's all over me, I'm freaking out, and everything's going on around me, and I'm just like in my own little world wanting to get out of there. So I remember running to the car. And I can't tell you what happened after that. I just know we got out safe and sound, and we snuck back into the house, and no one ever knew we went.
Oh.
Yeah.
Success.
That's like giving yourself your own punishment.
Totally.
Because exactly. You didn't get in trouble from your parents.
No.
I bet you never did that again.
Exactly.
Well, I did not ever do that again, except I did until I did.
No.
So I'll tell you about that story. That is another hilarious story. So this goes back to when my grandma and papa used to stay with us, and Brandy and I were in the trailer. And I think she touched on it that I snuck out once.
Yes,
okay.
She did, yeah.
So this story is hilarious because they finally got me to sneak out. They had been talking about it ever since, like, every time a friend would come over and stay the night in the trailer, it's like, oh, we gotta go, we gotta stay. And I'm like, no, we can't go. My parents trust me, I can't go. Well, finally they got me to do it. And so one of our friends, he was having a party. His parents were actually teachers. They were out of town. And he was having a party. So all our guy friends were staying over there. And then it was me and Heather staying in the trailer and Brandy, who was sleeping. And so they said, we'll come get you. we'll roll up to the, like, we lived in a cul-de-sac, so they were going to roll up the hill and then kind of park a little bit away. And then we would sneak out and go with them. So we did. I like sneak out quietly out past Brandy, past my parents, and into the car with them. And the whole time I'm going, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And they're going, just shut up and get in the car. We were like, nobody had their license, and we were like clown car. This is long before I was claustrophobic. We were clown car stuffed in this little tiny, I feel like it was a 2-door car.
Oh my gosh.
And there was probably 6 of us at least in there. And they take us back over to our friend's house. So I'm not drinking again because I was too scared, but you know, there was bongs and like, it was cool. It was, that sounded weird. There were bongs. It was cool. No, but it was like a small group of us, maybe 10 of us.
Yeah.
Or 12 of us, and we were playing pool. He had a pool room and a game room. So it was fun, but I couldn't have fun because I was so nervous.
You're too nervous.
And I was like, what if my parents go out to the trailer? What if they see that I'm not in there? They don't know how to get a hold of me. We didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know who to call. So I start having like this panic attack. Like so I'm laying in the game room bedroom, and they're like a guest room. I'm laying in there crying. I want to go home. Take me home. Take me home. And they're all just like ignoring me. Like, get over it, Charity. It's fine. Just live in the moment.
It's like torture.
I couldn't. I was so, oh my gosh. I was just going through how much my parents trust me, and I'm betraying their trust. And I can't believe
your
I did this.
And,
right? Mm-hmm. Well, so then they're like, okay, Charity, come on. We're going to take you home.
Okay, good.
No, they weren't. They were taking us to TP a house. So I'm like, I'm staying in the car. I'm not getting out. I'm staying in the car. You guys promise you'll take me home after this. They're like, oh yes. And by the time they took me home, they didn't want me there anyway. They were so over me being so annoying.
Yeah. Were you ever invited again?
I don't believe they ever even thought to try to have me sneak out. I think it was very shortly after that. I didn't have to sneak out anymore. But anyway, the funniest part of this is that, besides me crying the whole time, is that when we got back, they dropped us off kind of down the hill a little bit. So we walked up, and I turned the corner, and my whole house had been teepeed as well.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, this is amazing. I have an excuse. I'll just say that we ran after the people that were teepeeing, and like, it's because I thought, well, I have an excuse. I'll just say that we saw it or whatever, and I've been out. So we get back to the house. We sneak back in. My parents never knew that that happened until they did, until I told them later on in life. So I told my mom that story, and we already told you guys that
she
cried.
She cried.
But there was another story of there. So how are we doing on time?
Did you find out who TP'd your house?
No, I never did.
No.
It's crazy. And we, it was a few, I think it was my junior year, we had heard that like all the guys were going to, I was having a girls party, shocking, huh, guys, a girls slumber party. And we heard all the guys were going to come TP our house. So my dad, like, he's like MacGyver. He goes, let's booby trap the whole front yard. So
that's
when
amazing.
They come to TP, we had wires set up in the grass. We had like things to dump on them. It was so awesome. It was so awesome. And then we went to TP, one of their houses. So we had so much fun. You know, that's the cool, fun thing. I mean, that was, now I know as a mom, it's really messy and disgusting to like clean up, but it's the fun that we used to have when we didn't have technology.
It's innocent fun.
It is.
Yeah, it was harmless.
And nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
You know, clean it up, but.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to tell you this other story, and then, then that's going to wrap up this today. But there are some other fun stuff about younger years, but we'll get to that next week. But this last story I'm going to tell you, because it goes with, I told my mom this story as well as the sneaking out at the same time when she cried. So when I was 15, we loved Can't Buy Me Love. That movie was out, and that was like our favorite movie ever. It was so good. If you haven't seen it, I go to watch a movie that I loved back then, it's not as great as I thought it was today, right?
I agree.
But that one is such a good one. If you don't know about it, McDreamy from, what's that?
Oh, yeah. Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. He plays kind of the nerd kid that the popular girl falls in love with, basically. Yeah, becomes cool. So anyway, she had a Volkswagen Cabriolet in that movie, so that was my dream car. It was a lot of people's dream car back then.
Everyone's.
It was a popular car, yes. Right? So, anyways, I was 15, and my parents knew a mechanic that had a brown Corvette. And so I remember my mom telling Brandy and I want to take you to see this car, see if you like it. You know, you're almost 16, and we're looking at cars for you. So we were like, okay, cool. So we pull in. She didn't tell us what color it was or what it was. We pull into the parking lot, and we see this, like, poop brown older Corvette. So Brandy and I start going, that's the car that you want me to drive? And Brandy's going, oh my gosh, can you imagine we roll up in a piece of poop to school? And
well, it matches the school colors.
It definitely does. Yeah. Known as pee and poop colors. That's true. I totally could have put some gold stripes on
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
It
would have been perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, my mom's like, you guys, we can paint it. Just give it a chance. And we were like little brats. And the funny thing is, it's not like, I mean, my dad ended up making good amount of money when I was in high school, actually right about this time. But it's not like I came from like this, you know, really like wealthy upbringing or anything. Why was I acting like such a brat? And Brandy too. And we were both just snots, really bad. Like, and we just kept laughing, going, oh, let's just keep looking. And so anyway, I remember, it was shortly after that I went to youth group. It was once every Thursday night. So shortly after that, I went to youth group, and he was talking about being grateful and thankful and humble. And I was so convicted.
That's hard though. At that age.
Well, so but we know better.
Yes.
So I came home from youth group, and my parents were watching TV. And I cried and hugged them and said, I am so sorry for being such a spoiled brat. I am thankful that you are even willing to buy me a car. And I apologize. Like, that is just, it's just wrong. And I shouldn't have acted like that. And they said, thank you. We're glad you realized that. And I said, you know, any car that you want to give me, I will be grateful for. And so time goes on. And I remember it was one of the days that they took Brandy to gymnastics. I wasn't alone. I was at my aunt's house. My aunt lives in the same town. So I was at her house a lot. So I was over at her house waiting for Dad and Mom to get back from taking Brandy to gymnastics down in Escondido. And I'm up in the playroom, and I'm watching TV, and my cousins and Brandy come running up. Charity, come here. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, it's so weird. Like, what are they doing? Why are they behaving like this? And they possibly, like, they're so excited. I mean, like, little kids in a candy store is what I was getting, the vibe that I was getting. So I'm coming down, like, so perplexed. I don't understand why they're acting so crazy. And my aunt, how you walked out my aunt and uncle's door, front door, and it had, like, a path of, like, a porch, kind of like we need a little path to the door before you turn to the driveway. So the kids run out in front of me. I don't know where any of the adults are. And I walk down the path, and I turn the corner, and there, it makes me want to cry again. There's a Volkswagen, brand new Volkswagen white Cabriolet convertible sitting in the driveway with a bow on it.
New?
Oh.
And they're all excited, and my aunt and uncle and my parents are out there. And I see it, and I scream, no! And I turn around, and I run back in the house, and I'm crying, take it back, I don't deserve it, take it back. And they're going, and they come in, and I'm on the floor crying. They're like, come see it. No, I can't have it. And I'm bawling, and they're laughing, and they're like, come on, come check it out. And my sister and my cousins are like, come see it, come sit in it. And you couldn't carry me. They were like, my dad and my uncle were like dragging me out. They put me in the front seat. I wouldn't look at it.
Oh,
and I just kept saying,
I'm totally tearing up.
And I just said, I can't have this. And I put my head on the steering wheel, and I said, I don't deserve this. I can't have it. And they said, yes, you do. And, you know, and it just happened to be, you know, timing is everything, because my parents happened to be doing well at the time, so they could do it. And my mom said, well, do you know why we bought it for you, right? And I'm like, well, because of this whole thing. She goes, well, but also because that's the car you wanted. Do you remember wanting that car? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, remember Brandy used to call you Cindy Mancini? And I think Brandy mentioned that too. She used to call me Cindy Mancini. Well, once I got that car, she would not let up on Cindy Mancini. But yeah, I had that car for I don't know how many years, but it was so much fun. We took, you know, went down to the beach and all the friends. So anyway, but there's another part of this. So I wasn't 16 yet. And so my mom's like, well, I'm going to drive it until you turn 16. And then of course I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to drive it and you have to wash it. I'm like, but I appreciate that now. Like, you know, it's, there was a lesson there.
Yes.
But it was parked in the garage and they had to go out of town for a gymnastics meet. Shocking. And Heather and I were, we were at her house, but we would go, like, my mom would let us come during the day and stay at our house, but we couldn't stay there overnight. So Heather's, I don't know if Heather had her license then. She might have had her license because her birthday is a couple months, or maybe we just got dropped off at my house during the day. But that baby was sitting in the driveway or in the garage looking all pretty.
We didn't.
And we were like, oh, let's take it.
No.
And it's so out of character for me. But I think I was like kind of irritated and resentful that my parents were gone at gymnastics meets all the time. That something in me was like, let's do it. So we took that car, put the top down. I didn't even know how to drive a stick. Like, it was a stick shift. I was like, like grinding it. We take it out. We drive. If you know this area at all, and I know you do, there's the back road to Paula.
Oh yeah.
Before there was a casino. I had a girlfriend. We had a girlfriend that lived out there, like past the Indian reservation. And between the Pechanga and the Paula. And so we were like, let's go see Tammy. Now there was no cars out there. It was like, you know, 2-lane highway, but there was an intersection where you go to Paula back there. Mm-hmm. And, so I was just like, just hopefully I don't stall in the middle of an intersection where like my family friends could see me and tell my parents, right? So we make it, we're playing the go-go's and driving we pick up Tammy and we go driving in those hills. I had no business driving in those hills, a stick shift that I didn't know how to drive at 15 years old. I did that. So we drove out there, dropped her back off. We go to that intersection. So I made it through the intersection on the way there fine. On the way back, I stall in the middle of the intersection and I cannot get the car to go again. And there is cars, like not a ton, but there's cars going by and I just keep going. I'm like got my head down like by the steering wheel, but it's not like there was a million Cabriolets in town either. Like, but if anyone that knew me or my parents would have seen me, I would have been over. But fortunately, that didn't happen. We get it back into the garage, and I put the top back up, and I look at Heather, and I'm like, oh, what if my mom logged the mileage?
It's like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I was like, yes. And I thought, so all I did was stress for the next, like, few days. And then once my mom was back and life was as usual and she didn't mention anything, I knew I was in the clear. So those were the two stories I told her. I snuck out once, well, twice, but once from our house. And I took the car before I was 16. And she cried. I thought you never did anything wrong. I'm like, Mom, I didn't do anything wrong. Really, it wasn't. But I understand her, like, disappointment in that. At the same time, I think it was just more like, you know, just finding out that...
Yeah. I think all kids do things like that at that age.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't really. And I didn't have my first drink till I had a sip of my dad's beer, like when he would watch the fights, but my parents weren't big drinkers at all. My mom didn't even drink when I was growing up. And my dad barely ever had them in the fridge. He would only drink it like watching a football game or a fight. So I didn't even drink till I was 21, I think.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I know.
Really good.
Such a rule follower.
Suck.
So, yeah, anyway, so those were some of the fun stories, but there's more to come. I think, we'll wrap it up for today. But that's not all. We'll be back next week with some more of my fun high school stories. But
can't wait.
What did you guys think? I mean, we were all over the place. Today.
I had tears and crying, the smiling, the laughing.
I love that when you finally decided to do something naughty, you like were tortured by it.
I know, right?
I felt sorry for you. You punished yourself. Your parents didn't need to like punish you.
That's true.
You learned your lesson on your own.
I wish I was your friend back then. I really do. Yes, I do. I wish I was there with you. I could have helped you along or maybe give you a hug and said, let's go back. This is not worth it.
Well, I have to say, Heather was a really fun friend. She wasn't bad. She just like had a little more courage than me to do things that, you know.
I would have probably been crying right there next to you.
Yeah, I was like you. We would have been really boring.
I'm thankful for Heather. She really gave me like those little wild hair. And I think I still like, that kind of seeded the little tiny wild hair that I still have. Yeah. Like, I'm thankful for her.
Yeah.
She was so much fun. All right. Well, we'll be all over the place again next week, guys. But until then, have a fantastic week and what? Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little late now.
Oh.
We were going to say, hope you had a great Thanksgiving in the beginning of the podcast, because that would have been last week, even though Thanksgiving is going to be this Thursday for us. Anyway, we're going to catch up because we will have a day off in December that we'll be caught up. And then we can actually talk about the week that we are in instead of being so confused and all over the place. All right, guys, that's not all. We'll see you next week or hear from you next, or you'll hear us next week. Bumper Shoot, where we're covering life's chaos with humor and heart. Thank you.
Bye.